KNDY Ag Outlook is brought to you by Alliance Insurance, Marysville Livestock, Bruna Implement, and Linda's Insurance Agency.
This is Ag Outlook 2019 on the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Craig Mead. Ag Outlook 2019, a look at what we might expect in the coming year. Last week, we covered soybeans, sorghum, corn, and wheat. And this week, we'll focus our attention on livestock and what we might see in the upcoming months. Ag Outlook 2019 is brought to you by the Kansas Corn Growers Association and the Kansas Wheat Commission. This is Ag Outlook 2019 on Mid-America Ag Network. Thanks for joining us. The weather, low prices, it seems like every year agriculture has some of the same issues, and it also seems like every year agriculture faces a new set of issues that weigh on prices and how things are done on the farm. This year, we've got some beef export issues and a new farm bill that cannot be implemented yet because of the government shutdown. And we've got something else, something brand new that has reared its ugly head and will have a major impact. That is African swine fever. We'll take a look at how that will impact the livestock sector as well, right here on Ag Outlook 2019. We're all very well aware of the trade issues between China and the United States. Despite those trade challenges, members of the swine industries in the United States and China gathered in mid-January to seek possible solutions for the growing number of African swine fever outbreaks in China. The 7th U.S.-China Swine Industry Symposium was co-organized by the United States Grain Council and the United States Meat Export Federation, along with others. Roughly 200 industry professionals gathered in Beijing for the event that focused on animal disease prevention. The swine industries in China and the United States are very closely connected through trade in meat and feed products, and issues that affect the two industries have significant implications for global markets. African swine fever first started causing headlines in early 2018 as it moved from Africa to Europe, and then in late summer, African swine fever moved into China. And as the China cases grew, the concern became greater here in the United States.
There's always a level of risk that we here in the United States have to any of the foreign animal diseases, classical swine fever, foot and mouth disease, African swine fever. But, you know, when you start looking at the size of the pork industry over in China, the amount of travel that occurs between the countries, and, you know, having an increased incidence of ASF in China can increase the risk. And so, you know, we have to be really, really vigilant anyway, but this is just a good wake-up call to say, hey, look, you know, there are certain things that we need to do to make sure that we're protecting our herd here in the United States, because we certainly don't want African swine fever here.
National Pork Board Director of Animal Health, Dr. Patrick Webb, says ASF spread very quickly in China, with cases being detected in geographical areas quite far apart.
The more and more outbreaks that you start to see in more and more areas, the harder this disease is going to be to contain and get under control.
African swine fever is highly contagious and posts a nearly 100% mortality rate. The concern in the United States continued to grow as cases of African swine fever continued to pop up across China, eventually reaching larger operations housing thousands of pigs.
Usually those larger operations are owned by larger companies, and they tend to have much better biosecurity measures in place. This is very concerning because we don't know how far it could spread into larger facilities like that.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation economist Michael Nevue. And the disease did indeed reach many of those large-scale pork operations. In fact, the disease spread so fast across China, many thought that China was underreporting the outbreak numbers. Work then began quickly across the United States to prevent the disease from entering.
The Pork Board website has a foreign animal disease checklist about what producers can be going through and making sure that their farm is prepared for anything to happen. Additionally, at this point, USDA is having wargaming exercises to essentially practice how they would respond to any kind of outbreak occurring in the U.S. as well. So the industry, the government, and producers are all remaining vigilant on how to prevent this spread to the United States.
Research funded by the Pork Checkoff has found that diseases like African swine fever can survive in the overseas shipment of certain feed ingredients. National Pork Board Vice President of Science and Technology, Dr. David Pyburn, encourages pig farmers to work with their feed supplier.
And try to determine upfront of the different ingredients that I have in my feed, the different components that are in my feed, where do they come from? And do they come from some countries that have African swine fever, China being one of them, but we also get feedstuffs from other areas as well. Determine that first, then determine if it is made in a country where African swine fever or any of the three foreign animal diseases are known to be active, then are they produced in a biosecure manner in those countries?
Dr. Pyburn says producers have a choice to make.
If you can't figure out whether they're produced in a biosecure manner or in a biosecure facility in those countries, then I think you have to assume that there could be some risk here of putting these viruses in front of our pigs in feed. So then your choice is, am I willing to accept that risk as is? Do I want to do something to mitigate that risk? Or do I want to consider maybe trying to find another source for any of those components that come from African swine fever or any of the foreign animal disease positive countries?
Dr. Pyburn says the conversation between the farmer and the feed supplier is extremely important. The spread of African swine fever can happen from pig to pig. However, because it lives in the muscle tissue of the pig, the meat can provide a source of infection. African swine fever now is causing problems in Russia, Poland, Romania, Belgium, and China. There is no treatment. The only option is to eradicate the animals.
The virus is interesting because it survives outside the host really well. And so in meat and meat products or tissue, it lives. So we think the virus was brought to Europe from Africa in some meat. We don't really know for sure, but that's the most likely explanation. About 10 years ago, it was introduced into the wild boar population in Africa, in Europe. And it's circulated particularly in Eastern Europe, starting in Russia. It's endemic in Russia today, and then it's moved into Eastern Europe over time here.
University of Illinois veterinarian Dr. Jim Lowe says even eradicating the animals, the virus still remains tricky to contain.
The good news is it takes a big dose, but it lives outside the host for a long time. And there's a tremendous amount of virus in meat, in the muscle tissue itself. So if we move a few ounces of meat into another spot and some of that ends up in the garbage and the pigs eat it, it's almost always infectious.
Lowe says the most likely route of transmission into the United States would be either in feed ingredients imported from China or in a commercial airliner in somebody's sandwich. African swine fever is only a disease of pigs. It does not infect cattle or chickens or people, but we are still on the lookout for African swine fever. Of course, the United States and China trying to iron out trade differences. Brett Krotz with marketing firm Schwederman Incorporated in Garden City says trade with China in terms of livestock may be impacted by more than just a trade agreement.
The other issue with China there is the African swine fever, which may end up impacting the pork and beef market more than anything else. If their hog herd continues to diminish or be less productive than it has been in recent history, they're going to need to feed people with something.
Right.
And there's a big chance that that ends up being U.S. pork or beef.
So you can most assuredly count on African swine fever to be a market mover one way or another in 2019. The dairy industry is in a fight to change labeling procedures. The dairy industry wants you, the consumer, to be certain that plant-based drink products from things like soy, almond, or cashew are not really milk.
We just feel like that sends a very misleading message to the consumer, because when they hear milk or dairy products, they make certain assumptions about its quality, its wholesomeness, its nutritional value, and these other products are not equal. And they're not equal in cost, they're not equal in nutritional value.
Dairy farmer Peter Dupengeiser says the goal is to enforce fairness and avoid confusion.
But I can also sympathize with a consumer who has lots of choices to make and doesn't have that information, which is another reason why this is so important, that labeling is correct. So that at least by the label, they can realize there's a distinction there.
The United States dairy industry has been rallying for the FDA to enforce clarity on plant-based products inaccurately identified as milk. The agency has extended its comment period until January 28th, allowing both producers and consumers to weigh in on this touchy labeling subject. Well, there's lots more still to come as we take a look at what we might expect for livestock in the coming year. This is Ag Outlook 2019 on the Mid-America Ag Network. Going to take a break. We'll be right back. attend the Kansas Corn Symposium, Wednesday, January 23rd in Manhattan, focusing on ethanol and trade issues and celebrating the accomplishments of Kansas corn growers, the afternoon and evening of January 23rd in Manhattan. Register today at kscorn.com. Then stay for the Kansas Commodity Classic on January 24th, joining Kansas corn, wheat, sorghum, and soybean growers to hear top ag speakers and lunch with keynote market speaker Matt Roberts. Visit kscorn.com to register and learn more. That's kscorn.com.
Wheat streak mosaic virus caused Kansas wheat farmers to lose $77 million this year alone. Stop the streak by controlling volunteer wheat. Avoid early planting and choose varieties with resistance to this economically devastating disease. Volunteer wheat must be completely dead and dry for 2 weeks before planting a new wheat crop. Learn more at kansaswheat.org/stop the streak.
Attend the Kansas Corn Symposium, Wednesday, January 23rd in Manhattan, focusing on ethanol and trade issues and celebrating the accomplishments of Kansas corn growers, the afternoon and evening of January 23rd in Manhattan. Register today at kscorn.com. Then stay for the Kansas Commodity Classic on January 24th, joining Kansas corn, wheat, sorghum, and soybean growers to hear top ag speakers and lunch with keynote market speaker Matt Roberts. Visit kscorn.com to register and learn more. That's kscorn.com.
Wheat streak mosaic virus caused Kansas wheat farmers to lose $77 million this year alone. Stop the streak by controlling volunteer wheat. Avoid early planting and choose varieties with resistance to this economically devastating disease. Volunteer wheat must be completely dead and dry for 2 weeks before planting a new wheat crop. Learn more at kansaswheat.org/stop the streak.
No two crop years are alike for farmers. Markets, weather, and operations can change in a heartbeat. Although it seems we just finished up with the 2018 harvest, now is the time for a spring crop review to ensure that your current crop coverage will meet your 2019 needs. Sales closing date for spring crops is March 15th, so call soon to set up a policy review. Even if you are not one of our current clients, I would be happy to review your coverage and visit about coverage options. Call me, Tammy Sedlogic, your rain and hail independent agent at Alliance Insurance, 785-562-2393.
Cattlemen throughout northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska rely on Marysville Livestock. Marysville Livestock features a cattle sale each Thursday at noon. For early consignment listings, go online to marysvillelivestock.com. For details and consignments, contact Fieldman Dave Burrish, Tim Dollinghouse, Jeff Cook, Greg Anderson, or Trevor Lundberg, or manager Bill Kiesecker. Marysville Livestock Incorporated, featuring a cattle sale every Thursday at noon.
For the best in farming equipment with the service to back it, there is only one, Bruna Implement Company, your local Case IH dealer. Since 1947, the staff of Bruna Implement Company works daily to provide the best parts and service when you need it most. Bruna Implement Company has been family owned for three generations. They know what it takes to be successful as your area Case IH dealer in Marysville, Washington, Clay Center, Seneca, and Hiawatha.
Planning for the future includes accounting for the present. Crop insurance protection assures that your farming operation will withstand the variabilities of weather and potential disaster. Rely on the coverage that crop insurance provides. And rely on Linda Schmitz with Linda's Insurance Agency for the experience and personal service that she offers. Call today and update your crop insurance options. That's Linda's Insurance Agency, 1507 Broadway in Marysville.
Welcome back to Ag Outlook 2019 on the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Craig Mead. Well, as this segment of Ag Outlook 2019 was being produced, there was some good news for farmers and ranchers all across the country. The United States Department of Agriculture reopened FSA offices. More than 9,700 FSA office employees went back to work on Thursday, January 24th.
That's exactly right. We've persuaded OMB through them working with us and our attorneys and our budget people working with them over finding the funds to get all of our people back to allow them to take care of our customers' business. And it'll be more inclusive than it was on the temporary three-day issue as well.
That, of course, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue by inclusive. Secretary Perdue, of course, means that more services will be available.
So they'll be able to do some more things, including finishing up the market facilitation program and even originating some new operating loans for them, creating some of the WHIP payments and doing some other things that getting crops out of loans, getting new loans on other crops, cotton, peanuts, sugar, those kind of things. So even the dairy margin protection program.
FSA offices were open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. last Thursday, January 24th, and Friday, January 25th.
And then for a 10-working-day period, that means all 5 days next week and all 5 days the week following, they will be in the office to take care of all the backlog businesses. And then they'll be open 3 days a week in the weeks following.
Great news for farmers and ranchers. The USDA trying to get things back to normal in spite of the government shutdown. Even though there have been some export issues with American agriculture products, including beef, demand for American beef continues to grow, as does the quality of American beef products.
We've gone through a major change in beef demand from where we were back in the early 1980s to where we are currently today. From 1980 to 1998, beef demand was cut in half. Now, put that in perspective. That means half the people aren't enjoying their eating experience. That's just, it's not acceptable. The industry got focused on changing things in the late 90s, early part of the 2000s, and the quality grades started to improve. And today, beef demand has grown tremendously to the point of the equivalent of about $20 a hundred in the last 20 years. So it's an incredible story.
Randy Block is the executive vice president of Cattle Facts. He says that as beef got better, consumer income levels increased along with their desire and ability to buy higher quality beef. The effects are seen in the beef price spreads over the years.
The spreads have held together very well. The Choice Select spread is at $10 again this year. That's where it's averaged in here over the last 15 years. So even though the grade has improved 25%, again going from 55% choice and prime to 80% choice and prime, the spreads tell us that's what the market wanted. People are willing to pay more for that type of eating experience. We have seen some erosion in the prime spread in here in the last year where we've seen supply increase as much as it has. I think that's opportunity. I think that's more opportunity for end users to come back in, consumers to experience the value and eating quality of prime.
And Block says increased demand goes beyond just our own borders, adding value to beef exports and more profit for all sectors of the beef industry.
Average profitability over the last several years, we've had cow-calf producers making $200 to $300 a head. Cattle feeders have had two of the five best years in history over the last 4 or 5 years. Packing industry's making great money. Stocker operators making good money. Everybody's making money. End users are making money. That's what a sustainable business is all segments making some money. And I think that's something we should be really proud of.
Kansas Livestock Association Vice President of Communications Todd Domer says better quality beef is a result of better practices on the part of beef producers.
Production of prime and choice beef has grown in recent years due to improved genetics and other herd and feeding management practices. Economic analysis confirms consumers are responding positively to the higher quality beef supply available in the marketplace.
Domer reports that in spite of alternatives, the demand for high quality beef remains very strong.
Branded beef programs have helped drive the quality awareness and experience among consumers. Despite lower priced protein alternatives, including poultry and pork, consumers have remained willing to pay up for increasing supplies of higher quality beef.
So 2019 appears promising for beef, especially if we can reopen certain export markets and maybe even find some new ones. Those difficulties with export markets had a most detrimental impact on pork.
Pork exports, the U.S. exports 27% of our production, and that includes muscle meats as well as variety meats or pork offal, so the products that aren't consumed here but are consumed in other countries and have higher value in other countries.
Lee Schultz is assistant professor of economics at Iowa State University. The slowdown in exports, along with increased production this year, pose at least the potential for problems, according to Pork Checkoff Vice President of International Marketing Craig Morris.
Yeah, we're estimating production is going to be up 5.3%, which is a staggering number. If exports alone were to carry that increased production, we'd have to see an increase in our exports somewhere in the neighborhood of 23%. So it's going to be a Herculean task to get all of this pork moved. There are a lot of bright spots on the horizon for exports, and we've done really well this year in markets that have not been impacted by the tariffs. But we really have our work cut out for us.
Of course, the biggest headlines revolved around reductions in exports to China and Mexico. But Morris says there are tremendous opportunities for pork in other parts of the world.
Oh, South Korea has been an unbelievable bright spot for us. We're up some 43% on a volume basis, some 48% on a value basis. Obviously, Colombia is a market we've been talking about now for a couple of years, up 41% on a volume basis. We're up to 37%. On a value basis. So those are two really important markets. And then we've got a whole basket of other things. We went to Vietnam as a part of our International Marketing Committee international mission. That market is absolutely on fire, up some 615% on a volume basis, or 431% on a value basis. So we've got a lot of markets out there that are doing really, really well for us.
So the expectation is pork could have a pretty decent year in 2019 if we can resume sizable exports to China and, of course, Mexico with the new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. And, as we alluded to in the first segment of the show, if we can keep African swine fever outside the United States. Again, Patrick Webb is Director of Swine Health Programs. He says there are a lot of information resources available for pork producers online.
Pork.org, and download a copy of that. You can also go to www.pork.org and that /FAD. And on that one, we also have our FAD bulletins that we put out every other week that give producers the most up-to-date information that we have about African swine fever, as well as a lot of other good pieces and parts that help producers understand where they can go to pick up information regarding biosecurity, disease awareness, preparedness. We've got all sorts of resources for pork producers that would help them with their preparedness at the local level.
The pork industry as a whole working very, very hard to keep African swine fever out of the United States. Well, there are an awful lot of issues that will have an impact on agriculture in 2019. We've got the FSA offices open for a while now, but we have to wonder just exactly how long the government shutdown will last. We'll be watching efforts to continue expanding broadband into rural areas of the country. And, of course, we'll be hoping to see a completion and implementation of the new Waters of the U.S. rule from the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. One other big thing for livestock, of course, is the electronic logging for truckers hauling cattle and hogs. Hopefully that will be resolved as well. And, of course, no one knows what Mother Nature will do when it comes to the weather. A lot can go wrong, but a lot can go right, too. Farmers and ranchers and other folks in agriculture are among the most optimistic folks there are. Most of us will tell you that 2019 is going to be a pretty good year. We sure hope so. That's going to do it for Ag Outlook 2019. Thanks to our sponsors, Kansas Corn Growers Association and Kansas Wheat Commission. And thanks to you for listening. Ag Outlook 2019 is a presentation of Steckline Communications on the Mid-America Ag Network. Have a great year in 2019. I'm Craig Meade.